We'll be looking at verse A. You might say, well, we just went through that a few Sundays ago. We're going through the book of Acts. Started with verse 1, chapter 1. And we got our way through Pentecost. But this week, God has been burdening my heart to go back and look at that verse again. And it will help us. God will help us this morning. To you and to I. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to comprehend, understand, make application of this verse of Scripture that you're speaking to our hearts. Open up our heart to receive, to hear, and to be what you want us to be. Help us to be that witness, those witnesses, in these days that we need to be for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God has given me a new zeal, and I praise his name, for the work of the cross. I'm the type of person that peer pressure doesn't affect me whatsoever. It has a reverse effect on me. If I see the world or somebody doing something wrong, it makes me more determined not to do that. I suppose I've said many times that I have learned probably more by watching other people do it wrong than there's very few people doing it right. And when you see people doing it wrong, you realize it and you want to change it. And God has given me that desire in these days. I remember when I came here 20 years ago, I told the congregation then, I said, I've got about 5 gray hair in my head, best I can tell. And I'm going to look closely over the next 20 years, and if I get more, I'm going to accuse you of putting them there over worry or whatever. Well, it's been 20 years, and I've got so many now, I can't count them. I don't try to cover them up. No need, ain't. God knows the number of hairs over your head. But they're coming. They're coming fast, and that's okay. But God has shown me and instilled in me a desire, because this verse of Scripture speaks about witnessing, and in the preliminary, in introduction, I want to look at some thoughts. And God birthed this into my heart this week. We've heard much on TV and the newspapers, on the radio, about our government perhaps cracking down on witnessing in the military. You know, if you're in uniform, you shall not mention Jesus' name. And there are some that say, and we'll get into that a little bit later, if you do, it would be just like committing sexual rape, it would be a spiritual rape. That is unconstitutional, and they say it is enemy of the Constitution if you mention Jesus' name. Well, that doesn't affect us right now because we're not in the military, but could. And none of us get too excited about that. You know, we say, well, they will stop our witnessing. Some countries do. If you witness, you're in jail, maybe been put to death. But what good is freedom if you don't use it? Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, he told us to do that, and yet what kind of witnesses are we? If you're not witnessing, and he give you the permission, and in America we have freedom still, somewhat, and that freedom that we have, if you don't use it, what good is it? Let's look at the text together, and by way of introduction, again, I want to look at 3 different things, and we'll get into the message. First of all, the text tells us that the witnessing aspects that give glory to God are these: living right, being right, doing right, while others are watching us, and let the world see Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the first thing, this aspect of witnessing, because we've got to answer the question, be ye witnesses. What's a witness? Okay, these 5, and there's more, but these 5. Living right, doing right, being right, number 1. Number 2 is telling others. Part of witnesses is telling others verbally what God's done for you. Paul majored on that. He said, I was on the wrong road, the Damascus road, going the wrong direction, but Jesus found me, and I changed directions. Being what you ought to be and saying what you ought to be saying. Then thirdly, following his leadership, because we don't know the way. We hardly know anything, and I sure don't know directions that I need to take in this world, but I don't have to worry about that because he lives in me, the hope of glory, and he speaks to my heart. And he told us in the Word of God, my sheep know my voice, a stranger they will not follow. So when I hear him speak, I have to obey him. That's part of a witnessing program, the aspects of witnessing. And number four, speaking the words. Sometimes he'll tell you words that you just don't like to hear. I mean, you know the world won't receive it. Some church people won't receive it. But you have to hear his words. Jeremiah got in trouble with the world. Yeah, they put him in dungeons, and a lot of prophets were put to death. Sometimes Jesus will ask you to say or do something you don't really want to do in the flesh. We do it, and if we don't, we're not witnesses for him. Number five, faithfully declaring the whole counsel of God. Sin is sin. There's a place called heaven. The only way you're going to get there is by the blood of Jesus. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sins. Let him cleanse us from our sins. And then we declare the whole counsel of God without compromise whatsoever. Witnessing, number one, to the glory of God. The aspects of witnessing. Number two, where are these witness areas at? Well, he told us, begin at Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and in every part of the world. Jerusalem, that's where they were. So we begin where we are, at your home across the street, and then Judea, Jerusalem is the capital of Judea, southernmost part of Israel, and so you enlarge yourself, and you get out Samaria. That was a forbidden place. Jesus said to the Samaritans, don't you go there. Don't you deal with them? Oh, now things have changed. The Gentiles are being grafted in. And not only Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but now all over. We send missionaries. And the telecast this morning is going to all parts of the world. Thank God that we have that opportunity. Now we know the aspects of witness. We know the area of witness. Let's look at one other truth, and we'll get into the message. This witnessing is going to be assured because he gives us the assurance. Now, within yourself, you can do nothing. But notice the text. You shall receive power. See, it's not my witness. It's not my life. My life is hid with Christ and God. And so now where I go, how I act, what I represent is him, where, everywhere. And then he says, I will empower you. My words and your words probably won't amount to anything unless they're anointed, but he promises to do that. So we have these aspects of witnesses, the area of witnesses, and the assurances that the witnesses will be effective. But I want to get into the message, and the title of this message this morning is The Difficulties in Witnessing Must Be Overcome. We're going to deal with some difficulties. Now, it's easy. We've already looked at all these areas. It's easy to understand. We know the application, but now doing it is a little bit different, isn't it? Let's look at some difficulties as God gives us the words this morning, in two aspects. I want to look, first of all, the trials that we have in this witnessing that he told us we had to do everywhere, and he gave us assurance that he'd take care of the result. We're going to look at the trials, and that'll be a big subject. Then we're going to look at the triumphs. Oh, yeah, he already said be effective. I will anoint you with power. It'll be me. When you're preaching the Word of God, and when you proclaim the Word of God, it has an effect. So there are trials out there in this difficulty. Let's look, first of all, under the trials, at the hardships. Let's use the scripture and go back through and say, it's hard to be a witness. It really is. Let's go back to Elijah. Remember, the first time you see Elijah mentioned in the Word of God is when God told him, and he was a nobody, just Elijah, a Tishbite, never been mentioned in the Word of God, just unknown. And God said, tell you what you do, Elijah. You have to go up to King Ahab's palace, and you go tell him a message from me. And I'm sure that was a little bit hard to do. I mean, he could have got arrested, could have been put in jail. Ahab's a king of Israel. Ungodly king he was, but God had a message for him. How's he going to get you there? Be ye therefore witnesses. So he walks up to the king's house and says, very unlikely message, nobody would want to have heard. He said, it won't rain for these years, until you hear me speak again. A drought's coming. That was a little bit hard to do. And when God tells you and something, you and I something to do, it may be a little hard to do. But again, this is a trial of your faith, that God gives you something. And Elijah would not have been worth, may I say, a plug nickel if he had not been obedient to that first one. We know he did many miracles. God used him madly, but he could not and would not have used him had he not dared go up to the king's house and did what God told him to start with. Sometimes he starts off when it's a little bit hardship. Let's look at a couple others. Let's look at Paul's, I call it second revelation. The first revelation he had when the light shined, Christ Jesus was a light, and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Kick against the pricks. And Saul immediately fell on his face, and he went blind in his eyes and could not see. And that was the first revelation. But then the second, it's a little bit harder. I mean, it's easy to admit you're wrong. I don't know why everybody don't, because we are wrong. But now the second one, in my opinion, is a little bit harder. Listen to what he did. The Lord said to Ananias, I will shew him great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God, the second time he spoke, Jesus, the Lord, spoke to Saul was, I'm going to show and reveal to you some great sufferings you're going to do for me. Is that hard? You just repented. You just acknowledged. You just got saved. And the second appearance of the Lord to him says, I'm going to show you some great sufferings that you're going to do for me. Hardship. He was going to be a witness. An effective witness he was. Let's look at one other one. We know today, right now, that the hardships that we go through is very difficult sometimes. And it's made it even harder by the society we live in because of the acceptance of Christianity. May I remind you that we Christians are hated by most of the media, by most of society. And it's really hard. I mean, Christ didn't tell you it was going to be an easy road, did he? You go out and witness and be a light, and we'd be surprised this morning how many people would be passing by this church and say, look at those crazy people inside those walls wasting their time. Yeah, we're really ridiculing this world. It's somewhat hard to be a witness. The hardships. But then let's look at some hindrances, because there are many hindrances out there. The trials that we go through and face, Jesus said they're more precious than gold. Let's look at some hindering causes. Sometimes it's just pride or fear. Let's look at Ananias. Ananias was one that loved the Lord, and God said to Ananias, Ananias, I want you to go down, and there's this Saul fella that I've got down there, and I want you to go down and lay your hands on him. I've got great work for him to do. And Ananias said, well, there's a little hindering cause here. What is it, Ananias? I'm afraid of him. He's been arresting Christians, had them put to death. And now I go to where he's at, How do I know I won't be put to death? It will be hard. Nevertheless, he went, and when he went and laid his hands on Saul, God used him and opened up the eyes of Saul, and God used him mightily. It was the first time we see Ananias had to do anything, and I'm leading somewhere, and God may treat you and I like that. Let's look at one other one, Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman a soldier that was a leader of a centurion. And at this time, remember, the Romans were enemies of the cross, enemies of Israel. Gentiles they were also. And God said to Cornelius in a dream, in a vision, go down to Joppa in the house of one Simon by the seashore and find a man called Simon Peter. I've heard of him. He won't have anything to do with me. Well, send somebody down there and tell him to come up to where you are, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. So Cornelius was faithful to that promise. Many times God asks you things you just don't want to do because he could have been rejected. Peter, remember, was one of the disciples that had a hard time with mites in the national forest. And there they had spread diseases. And that was over in the mountains of Western Carolina. It didn't bother me too much because it wasn't me. But then they had come to Bluff, North Carolina, and that's where I'm from, and that's where my mother and dad lived, and a few of my relatives, and that's where the church was. And I heard on the news, WLOS, they've come over there. Without, she said, they're in that big old field up there on the side of the hill. I said, I know where it's at. So I went up there and passed out Bibles, and almost everybody received them. A couple didn't. And then, they're not supposed to have a leader, but I could tell this particular person was their leader. Because if you had a leader, they could have had him arrested for being there illegally. So I said, the Lord sent me here. He said, he did. I said, yeah. And we want to give out Bibles. That's okay. I'd like to speak to the people. He hollered through the field, said, everybody sit down. The preacher wants to talk to us. Now, that was a hard thing to do, but if I had not done that, even though I didn't want to, do you think God would have ever blessed anything else I ever did? And I said, I'll have to say that to you. God may ask you to be a witness to some area you don't like. It's a trial. And God will bless it, and it'll be hard, but it'll open up a door. It did for Ananias. It did for Cornelius. It did for Elijah. It did for me, and it will for you. Hindering causes removed because the fear is gone. And you know that God accomplishes what he set out to accomplish. Not only the hardships and hindering causes, but I want to look at the hatred of Christians. I mentioned it a little bit ago. We're hated in this world. More every day, more every year. Now the chaplains, when they pray, can't use the name of Jesus, even in Charlotte, North Carolina, much less the military. We're hated. Let me give you two examples. If you watch the news much, you'll hear about a man called Tim Tebow, you know, professional football player. And he is hated. Why? Because he usually has on his face somewhere John 3:16, and when he does a play, he has the audacity, they say, to kneel down and say, thank you, Lord. Now, you may not agree with that style, but there again, what if God told him to do that? Let's look at his background just a little bit, Tim Tebow. He came from Jacksonville First Baptist Church. His pastor was a great man of God, Jerry Vines. I've sat under Jerry Vines' ministry and preaching several times. Jerry Vines was pastor of the church Tim Tebow was at as a teenager, and for 20 years he is the pastor. Jerry Vines is hated by the press. He is hated by the world. They call him a cultist. But at the same time, God must have honored it, because while he was at First Baptist Church Jacksonville, for 20 years, he baptized 18,000 souls. Even more than that. He made a statement that really got him out of grace. To all the Muslim friends, he said, "Your ally is not Jehovah." Boy, was he hated then. They call him a cultist. Oh, but God called him to be a great witness. So Tim Tebow came out of that culture. He came out of that leadership. And now Tim Tebow, when he played football, many of the people booed him. Why? Because he had the audacity to say something about Jesus. Hated. Can I look at some contrast here about Christianity? Just recently, if you read the news, a professional football player came out of the closet, so to speak, and his name is Kawan Harris. He says, "I'm gay." He's a local hero. He is a hero of the media now because he had the courage to come out and admit who he was. Yeah, and if you're a Christian and you say being gay or homosexual is a sin, you're really hated because they don't think it's a sin. They think you're born that way. We live in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. But Jesus said, "Ye are my witnesses. And if you'll stand and proclaim, I will empower you and I'll use you." Might be put in prison, but that's okay. Paul was. But he said, "Everything I am and all I do for the furtherance of the gospel." I don't mind getting in that category if God can use me in any realm. Witnessing is hearing his voice, proclaiming what he says to proclaim, and standing boldly upon the word of God. We've saw the hatred. We've saw the hindering causes. We have seen the hardships. And we'll look next at hell's invasion on our society. Society you and I are living in right now. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like it. You haven't either. Even people 20 years old can relate to this, what you've seen in the last few years. We'll name a few of them. Because God says, "Ye are my witnesses." First of all, abortion. It's been around a long time, but now we have leaders and their regime in Washington, D.C., you know, it's promoting it. Yeah, even going to Planned Parenthood, which is saying, arranging abortion and saying, "God bless you." But you know what? Might not have been talking about the same God you and I are, because there's more than one God. There's a Lord God, Jehovah God, and then there's false gods. And abortion is it's murder. That's all it is. God call it so. God judges accordingly. Then, of course, you got the gay marriage issue, which our regime is approved, and now states by the dozens seem to be looking at that, and many of them have already approved it. Said, "Well, it's okay to men marry men and women marry women." Only one problem, but it's a big one. God says it's a sin. Amen. Men with men, women with women. So you got a choice. You can stand by the word of God and be a witness, or you can accept it and be the devil's witness. That's my choice, and that's yours. And the devil don't like to hear of any of that, as we've seen demonstrated this morning by him trying to cut off everything. But then, there's some others that fornication and adultery. Kind of soft shoe, because it's easy to say amen when you know gay marriage, because that's a long way from here. But living together unmarried is fornication. And that's a sin. God says, "I can't bless it. You can't be my witnesses." The New Testament church was not built like that. God doesn't sanction it. He won't approve it. It's sin, and it will lead to destruction and damnation of a soul. Those three are going strong in this society. Why? Because hell has opened up all its power and influence on the society you and I live on every day. And then there's the fourth one. It affects every one of us somewhat if you're not real careful. Tolerance. Accepting it. looking over it. Well, that's okay. I know everybody's doing it. Don't be a part of that. Don't accept that, because God judges you and I according to whether or not we stand against something or we take his side or we just stand idly by. So when I first heard that word, you know, 20, 30 years ago, being taught in school, be tolerant to those. Be tolerant to those that hate you. And I know Jesus said, you know, turn the other cheek. But at the same time, he never accepted it. Fourthly, this anti-Christian all the way through. Now we see how it has affected our life, how it's affected even the military now. Soldiers are being told and will be told, and they have appointed the people in Washington, D.C., and the leaders have appointed that the Pentagon will go over and talk with the anti-Christian, the God-haters, and get their suggestions on how to calm it down and let it be a prison, maybe, offense. That's what they want to do. I'm not sure they'll get by with it, but put you in prison if you witness the name of Jesus while you're wearing a uniform. Oh, no, that's just awful. That's just like an enemy of the Constitution, they're saying. Well, we've looked at some hardships. We've looked at some hindering causes. We've also looked at hell's invasion. And there is the trials of your faith. But there again, he said, be ye my witnesses. He knew what we'd live in. And he called us for this very hour. I want to spend the last few minutes in looking at the final episode or the triumph. Oh, yeah, there's going to be triumph. Remember how hard Elijah had it? No doubt he had to hide himself for those 3.5 years while it didn't rain. Yeah. Ahab sent out every person he could and find that man. That man who, he came up here and had the audacity to tell me it wouldn't rain. It's not rained 3.5 years. No crops, no water, and he's got parties out looking for Elijah. He had to stay hid. But I want to look at the final triumph. God says, Elijah, go show yourself to the king. Go reveal to him that there is a God living. Now, I just want to put it to the test. Remember the story? They go up on top of the mountain, and you try to call upon your gods, which are no gods, and the God that answers by far, let's let him be God. Is that fair? Yeah, so they go Baal's false prophets, dancing, cutting herself, and Elijah making fun of them. It's all right to make fun of the devil and his crowd too. Elijah did. And Elijah said, maybe your God's asleep. And they cut theirself and they scream, and their God's no God, didn't start any far. He just said a few words, and God answered by far from heaven and consumed the water and the sacrifice. And then Elijah had 450 prophets of Baal slain. Triumph. Start out with a trial. Had he not been obedient to that trial, he would never have triumphed. And all this is relevant this morning because every one of us are witnesses. Ye shall be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, wherever you live, you're a witness. How you witness, hindering causes, of course, hurtful situations, trial of your faith. Thank God. I want to close by saying, God keeps good records. Every time I've ever disobeyed him, every time I said, no, I'm not doing that, God can put us on the shelf anytime he wants to. Many times he does. Why? You say, well, there's a hindering cause. I'm afraid if I do what God wants me to do, it's going to hurt. It may hurt Paul. Nevertheless, he did it. Why? He said, the things I do for the furtherance of the gospel. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He said, the life I live is not my own, because I live by the faith of a Son of God who loved me, died for me, and gave himself for me. Oh, can you imagine the rewards Paul was going to get? Why? Because he bowed down and listened, and he repented of his sins. And when God told him, I'm going to show you all the great sufferings, he didn't hesitate to say, count me in. If it's for your glory, why wouldn't he? He was in a life of sin, killing people, murdering people, And now he's saved on his way to heaven. And who did that for him? Jesus. No wonder he said, the life I now live is not my own. I live for you. And you're saved just like Paul was. And I'm saved just like Paul was. You shall be witnesses for me and to the othermost parts of the earth. Don't need to reiterate. Simple message. Couldn't miss it unless you really wanted to. Hard message. Don't you know that you say, well, you're preaching like that, you may lose some people. I considered that. I really did. But you know what God said? He told me when I first came here. He said, they're going to have a lot of people leaving, but I want to make you a covenant. I like his covenants. He said, for every person that leaves because they don't like the preaching you preach, I'll send three. He has. He will. Don't want to lose nobody, but I won't compromise. You may run me off, but I'll preach going. The devil may cut us off again. But greater is he that's within you and he that's within the world. Stand this morning, your heads are bowed.